a particular pleasure to welcome the convener of the Stop the War Coalition, Lindsay German, to address this Assembly.
Thank you very much, Andrew, and thanks to everybody for coming. I want to just cast people's minds back 5 years ago when we set up the Stop the War Coalition, because we said we had to oppose this war on terror. It would only bring more disaster to the people of Afghanistan. And now we find that next year there's a threat of famine in Afghanistan. And there's a threat of famine which is exacerbated by the troops fighting on the ground in the south of the country. We said it would bring disaster to Iraq, and we have 655,000 dead Iraqis as a result of that war. And we said as well that there were two other elements here in Britain which would be greatly worsened by the war on terror. One was the threat to civil liberties, and we can see on a daily basis exactly what this Labour government is doing. If you look at the Queen's speech this week, it is one of the most repressive Queen's speeches ever in terms of the legislation that is being put forward. And that doesn't even count the attempt that they almost certainly will introduce at the beginning of next year to reintroduce 90-day detention without trial for terrorist suspects. The other thing that we said would happen would be there would be a racist backlash against the Muslim community as a result of our government and the United States government's policies in Afghanistan, in Iraq. But the big difference here is that 5 years ago, the government ministers went out of their way to try to pull in on their side the Muslim community. If there were attacks on Muslims, they were condemned. They went out of their way to say they weren't asking Muslims to act in any different way. They weren't asking them to integrate. They weren't asking them to do any of these things. You look at the picture today in the last few months, and it is government ministers who have led the attack on Muslims in this country and have come out with some of the worst stuff against Muslims in this country. Firstly, we had Jack Straw, the man who says that he feels uncomfortable seeing women with a veil in his constituency surgery. Well, I don't know how uncomfortable they might feel having to deal with a man who's a war criminal who took us into this war in Iraq. But I do know that if there are problems in Blackburn, if there are ghettos in Blackburn, it's because the whites moved out of some of the areas, not that the Asians moved in. If there are problems in Blackburn, perhaps Jack Straw, who was the MP there for 27 years, might have some part to play in these problems. He didn't mind women in veils going to vote for him when he got elected. Why should he mind women in veils going to his constituency surgery? So we had Jack Straw as the kind of Trini and Susanna of the front bench, telling Muslim women what not to wear. Then we had John Reid as the kind of parental guide, if you can imagine anything like that, telling people, Muslim parents, they should keep their children away from extremists. Well, my advice to Muslim parents would be keep your children away from John Reid, because he wants to lock them up for 90 days if he gets half the chance. But we've then had minister after minister after minister, Margaret Beckett, we've had Ruth Kelly, we've had all of them. They all seem to go to the East End of London, where there's a very big Muslim community. I did a meeting at the University of East London this week where I wondered whether a government minister will pop out from behind a pillar and warn people against the danger of extremism. And we had last week, as Anas had referred to, Dame Eliza, Manning and Buller, a name that you really couldn't make up even if you tried. Doesn't seem a very integrated type of name to me. Telling us that she knew of at least 30 plots, 30 people who were involved in extensive network of terrorist plots. Now, I always thought MI5 was a secret service, and that if they had evidence against people, they should go and arrest these people and bring them to trial if they're indeed carrying out terrorist plots. But you have to look at that speech not as a genuine desire to share with the rest of us the problems of her job on a day-to-day basis. It came the day after a young man was sent to prison for 40 years for not committing terrorist acts, not even having any evidence that he had planned directly terrorist attacks, but actually a man who had fantasised about terrorist attacks. Now, I'm not saying that this man shouldn't have gone to prison, but it does strike me as excessive that then the day after this, MI5 said there are 30 more plots, 1,500 more people like this. And this was a deliberately calculated thing, and I'm afraid we are getting this all the time. The latest is the threat to the colleges, and I must say, I was a student more than 30 years ago at the London School of Economics, which was unusual then, although of course it's not unusual now, to have many overseas students as it did. And I had friends and comrades and colleagues there who were refugees, political refugees from all around the world. We had people who were refugees from Franco's Spain and from the colonel's dictatorship in Greece. We had people who were refugees, a friend of mine who had bullet holes, who'd fought against Saddam Hussein, he had bullet holes in his leg, who'd fought against Saddam Hussein in Iraq. We had refugees from the Shah's Iranian regime, one of the most repressive regimes, all of these backed by the Americans, of course, at the time. And we had people from apartheid South Africa. And the idea that you could have had a thought police which would go into these colleges, as they're now talking about doing, and saying that any student who discusses what they regard as extreme ideas, any student who discusses things which are illegal in their own country, as opposing apartheid was at the time, as opposing Franco was at the time, as opposing the Shah was at the time. The idea that this would have made for a better college, for a better society, is simply wrong. And what we are now doing to the colleges, places where people should be able to discuss ideas, we are imposing one of the most draconian models of repression in a country which is supposed to be a democracy. And it is a complete shame that we are going down this road. And I think we have to see all these things as coming from the same people who gave us the 45-minute claim over Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, who created a dossier which was based on lies in September 2002. You have to see this attack on Muslims and the hyping up of the terror threat as war propaganda, because that is what it is. And it's war propaganda because they have lost the argument over the war itself, that even the head of the British Army says the soldiers there are doing more harm than good. They have lost this argument, and this is the last refuge that they are trying to develop. And it seems to me that this is something we have to oppose very, very strongly indeed. And let's just look at some of these arguments about Western values and civilization and the integration of Muslims into, or other ethnic minorities, into majority white society. You know, when I look at what is going on here, what is so great about Western values as opposed to other people's values? People talk very often about the Enlightenment, the period 200 and more years ago when people talked about religious freedom. Although it was religious freedom, it wasn't against all religion, it was the choice of people to be religious or not to be religious. About the separation of church from state, which I agree with, and religion from state. It was about discussing all those things. And the Enlightenment brought many advances to our society and to our world. But it was also Enlightenment Europe that brought us two world wars in the 20th century, which brought us the Holocaust, and which brought us a society where, even though some people seem to think that women's liberation kind of happened 200 years ago, it took another 100 years in this country, 150 years, for women to even get the vote in this country. Women in France didn't get the vote until 1945. That's how progressive they were on those sorts of questions. And it took until the 1960s before people could talk about building a women's liberation movement. And just in case people in the room aren't aware of this, we still don't exactly live in a women's liberation paradise here in the West, where women earn less money, where they do most of the childcare. And where they're subject to some of the worst, horrible, sexist images that you can imagine. So the Enlightenment is only partly a good thing. And it's not a good thing if it's talked about in terms of bashing people who come from different cultures. We rejected the British Empire, and more importantly, the people who lived under the British Empire rejected the British Empire over the past half century. We can't bring it back again with these wars and occupations, and we can't bring back the kind of cultural imperialism which says, why can't these people be like us? Why don't they speak like us? Why don't they look like us? Why don't they dress like us? Why don't they behave like us? Well, maybe because they don't want to, and maybe because they don't think there's anything so great about the kind of society in which we live. And when people talk about integration, two things. First is that we had the most integrated anti-war movement. We still have. The most integrated movement in this country has been the anti-war movement, when people from all races, from all nationalities, have come together on the basis of complete equality. You can't say that about the society in which we live, and we never got a word of thanks from the government for doing it, even though it amounted to 100 times more than all their community cohesion programs, which they keep trying to force down Muslims' throats all the time. The second thing is that giving up your beliefs or your ideas or your religion or your culture does not protect you. The Jews in Germany were the most integrated group of Jews anywhere in Europe. And they were bankers, they were university lecturers, they sent their children to universities, they owned department stores. They were completely integrated and they never thought anything would happen to them. And it wasn't about integration. It wasn't about whether you lived separately or not. It was about politics and it was about the whipping up of racism in order. In order to create a scapegoat for what was going wrong with the society in which they lived. And we cannot allow that to happen this time with the Muslims here. I noticed, I read today, that in Holland, the government there, which has an election next week, is passing a law banning women from wearing the burqa on security grounds. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, you know, when Father Christmas, whether they'll be stopped from wearing hoods and all this kind of thing. This is just pure racism and oppression of people based on a moral superiority which they have absolutely no right to have. And I'd just like to ask a question. Does anybody seriously believe that if we said to the Muslims in this country, take off your hijabs, take off your veils, don't wear any different clothing, eat roast beef and Yorkshire pudding and Lancashire hot pot so Jack Straw will think that you've integrated in this kind of way. Don't build mosques which people can identify as mosques. Does anybody seriously think that would make Britain a better place, a safer place, a more integrated place? It would make it a much, much worse place. And that is why we have to stand up and be counted. Tony Blair and Margaret Beckett have both said to the Muslim community they have to stand up and be counted. They have stood up to be counted against the war. That's what Tony Blair doesn't like about them. That's what he's objecting to. And therefore, we have to connect this racism and this Islamophobia with the war on terror. It would not be happening. This form of racism, the last respectable racism in Europe, would not be happening if we were not invading other people's countries and killing Muslim people. That is why it's happening, because they have to demonise the people that they are attacking. So please, please, from this conference, please go away and do everything that you can to campaign against racist attacks, against Islamophobia, and against the thought police in the colleges, all of these questions. And these are getting worse and worse questions. You can't have government ministers making these sort of statements without it having an effect on the ground. I was in Sunderland this week, where a Bangladeshi family had their house burnt down in a racist attack. Women have had their veils torn off. I'm sure Jack Straw will be horrified by both of these events. But don't think when you say these things, and when you say them in a provocative way, they don't have consequences on the ground. And that is what we're now fighting. The fact that they've done what Enoch Powell did to make racism respectable, we're fighting that, we're fighting the war, let's make sure we fight both of them together.